For the first time in U.S. history, credit card debt surpassed $1 trillion. So we're taking a proactive approach towards the issue of credit, where there's over 90 million adult Americans who are considered credit challenged.
People are looking at you without you even knowing it. There's not like a formal process to it, right? They sometimes are evaluating you, risking their potential investment, and you don't even know it.
If I can actually build this at scale, and it really does fundamentally teach an entire generation about how credit works before they even have to have access to it, like, this feels bigger than me. My name is Evan Leapart, and I am founder and CEO of Kitty Credit.
We're always doing a corrective approach toward, never anything proactive. So we wanted to be the vitamin, not the pain pill. Fundraising is truly a process, and you have to find the people that understand what you do deeply.
What has been the biggest lesson around credit that you've learned in this journey of building this company? I'm here with Evan Leapart, founder of Kitty Credit, co-founder of Black Men Talk Tech, and then a recent grant recipient? Funding recipient, from 43 North, $1 million. Welcome, Evan. How's it going?
I'm happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
So let's dig in quickly, right? And so Kitty Credit is not your first rodeo. You're a serial entrepreneur. And so you had a cleaning company, a car transport company, and then Kitty Credit. Fill us in on the road, like the road from those two to where you are right now.
Yeah. So I've always been an entrepreneur. I always say I was that kid with the lemonade stand, built a computer from scratch, not so I could have a dope computer so I could burn CDs and sell them to my friends. Right.
What?
But as I got older, actually those were like the fifth and sixth businesses that I had, but the others, it was just always a struggle to really get startup capital. Those were the two where I really started to find my way. Auto transport, I found out about through a friend. So I was an auto transport broker. The first big break in that, I remember we received a micro loan for our business from Miami Bayside Foundation, based here in Miami. And then the cleaning business just stemmed from me being an early Airbnb host in Miami in like 2011, when it was less than 1,000 listings, clearly not the case now. But it was always a struggle to get my place cleaned in between these like time windows. So it was one of South Florida's first vacation rental businesses. So I was able to sell that, fortunately. But the thing I always wanted to do was what I'm doing now, right? Like, credit affected me negatively, drastically in my 20s. And I realized that it was a thing I knew nothing about when I was younger. But if I could do anything, it was like, how could I proactively educate this concept?
So. Nice. Okay, so first of all, you were like brother man with the CDs and the barbershops.
Absolutely.
Okay, that's really funny. And
I was lowered in the fifth floor, though.
Like, you were lowered?
Yeah, I was like, first
floor. How low were you?
We didn't have 5 floors in my high school.
Tell me the exact problem you're solving with Kitty Credit.
Yeah, so we're taking a proactive approach towards the issue of credit, where there's over 90 million adult Americans who are considered credit challenged. And 4 out of every 10 adults don't know and goes into their own credit score. And for the first time in U.S. history, credit card debt surpassed $1 trillion. So we're always doing a corrective approach toward, never anything proactive. So we wanted to be the vitamin, not the pain pill.
Mm-hmm. And so who on the alternate end of that are the problems? Like, what corporations,
good question.
Behaviors?
So we see ourselves as a way to establish early brand loyalty, extend lifetime value, and, you know, reduce acquisition costs for these folks. So we found a lot of early success with credit unions. What they found is that 60% of the kids whose parents bank at credit unions end up banking elsewhere. So they've identified innovation solutions like ours to kind of thrive. So that's where we really leaned in on. And then how Kitty Credit works, it's a tool for brands to help parents educate kids under 12 about credit through tasks. So think of a missed chore like a missed payment, and based off their performance, they'd get this credit score. A brand that's interacting with us and with that family, they get access to a SaaS platform so they can add activities, they can add rewards, right? So it's not just Evan clean room. It could be Evan ask mom to sign permission slip, or a reward could be extra bedtime, or it could be ABC Credit Union saying, hey, here's $25 to open a youth savings account. And then they also unlock a financial literacy journey of over 250 hours of content that meets multiple national financial literacy standards.
So is there a specific reason why, like, the age of 12 is better than working with them at the age of 18?
Well, the good thing is we continued the journey, right? And that's kind of what the Credit Academy is about. I'll get into that in a second. But it was really, we knew that if we were doing anything for the age of 12 and under, we're heavily restricted by COPPA, the Children Online Privacy Protection Act. So if we were going to do anything in the teen space, which we always wanted to do, we really wanted to have this distinct differentiation between what's for 12 and under and what's for 13 and up.
Mm. What has been the biggest lesson around credit that you've learned in this journey of building this company?
Not being able to get the things I wanted. But I would say just how many people are deeply affected by it, right? When I talk about the concept, I think we're doing a good job nowadays, like helping people understand savings, helping people understand investing, but credit's still this anomaly, right? And it's really these five simple factors that we overcomplicate, right? And we don't provide enough color on how important it is and how it affects your day to day. You have a great business idea, but it's not a venture idea, right? You just need a loan or line of credit to really do what you need to do. Credit score gets in the way. You saved up a decent amount of money. You're trying to buy a home, but you've never done anything credit. So you're quote unquote credit invisible. Mm-hmm. Now you can't get a mortgage. So I've just seen so many people affected by that story, and it let me know that we're fighting the right fight.
Tell us a little bit more about, because you are also the co-founder. Not only do you wear one big hat of running a startup, but you are also a co-founder of a tech conference. Mm-hmm. Talk to us a little bit more about Black Men Talk Tech.
So Black Men Talk Tech started from my insecurities as a tech founder, right? Felicia, you know, I always like to bring up this story, but it was basically when I started down this journey, I knew what I knew about an entrepreneur, but I knew nothing about being a tech founder. So Felicia was one of the first people I called and I said, hey, I have this idea. It's called Kitty Credit. It does exactly what it does now. And she's like, man, that's great. Like, you know, we could talk about, like, I think Hope Fever and all these things. And she's like, cool, so where's your prototype? I'm like, what's that? And she's like, no, you know, you have the MVP. I'm like, nah. So, you know, and then she's like, all right, well, just, you know, sketches, anything. I'm like, oh, no, I know nothing, right? So it was just this journey. Like things like MVP, things like SAFE, which is an investment vehicle, things I know now and can easily ramble off. I was so behind, yeah. You know, and I realized this whole space is, there's a lot of us that have great ideas, but are probably in that cycle where it took me like 2 years to really learn what it takes to be like just a founder in tech. Mm-hmm. And when the opportunity came for me to be a part of the Black Men Talk Tech journey, I was like, man, like, let me really like embed myself in this so I can help other founders like myself on the journey. And just, you know, for every step you take forward, try to like leave doors open for those going through them as well.
Mm-hmm. And so Black Men Talk Tech takes place when, where? Tell us a little bit more.
Yep. So we're on our fifth year. We're here in Miami. We'll be here November 9th through the 11th. The main day is November 10th. The 9th is a day of tech and hoops. So anybody here plays basketball, you know, feel free to join us. And then the 10th is the main day. And then we're planning some stuff still pending for the 11th.
Nice. Yep. And so, all right. So Kitty Credit and then Black Men Talk Tech. Like, where does this kind of like impact, social impact, like where does that come from like your childhood? Like, talk to me a little bit about that, because that's very rare, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you either have the startup founders that are like just very driven about building a company to make as much money as possible, and impact is the thing that they do once they retire. Mm-hmm. But you're wearing two hats that like have impact at its core. Where does that come from?
So one of my favorite books is 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Mm-hmm. And I think it's the fourth habit, don't quote me on that, but it's like think win-win. Mm-hmm. So I've always tried to say, like, for everything that I'm trying to do, right, I'm an only child, so I definitely have my selfish ways, but how can I do something that helps myself but helps others at the same time? Mm-hmm. And also being an only child, like, I've always just had this desire for, like, community and connection and everything, and it just feels better when you're not the only one celebrating. So that's really what it stems from. And just thinking about how we build things together, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, when we have wins or when we have losses, right, my resources are deep in terms of people I can call to and just kind of have a shoulder to cry on. Or when we, you know, when we win, there's a big group of folks that are celebrating us too. So it feels good.
Nice. You said your resources are deep of people that you can call on. How did you build that?
And I am genuinely the person probably to a fault. When you get that introductory call, I'm like, let's just chat, right? I don't have a preconceived notion, really. I just try to like take individual relationships with people. If I'm going into a room to network and there's 100 people there, I'd rather, instead of giving 100 people my business card, have like 2 or 3 dope conversations, because over time it just really piles up. Mm-hmm. right? And then instead of all of these popcorn conversations, I've had 30-minute, hour-long conversations with a bunch of people, right? And I think that it just shows over time, you know? I don't think there's a real recipe for it. It's just trying to be a decent human.
I love decent human, but there's a recipe to it. Tell us, come on, Evan, give us a little bit more, right?
I hear you, but I honestly, that's what I said to a fault. Like, I really get here without a plan. What I say when I'm at my best, right? I do try to understand, people's roles, what they do, and understand how I could be a value add to them also. So that way it doesn't feel like a one-sided conversation, you know?
Do you have a strategy or any tactics that you use to figure out how you create the win for the other side?
I'm a student of life, right? So I've probably known what somebody's doing before they were introduced to me, right? Especially in my particular field, right? Mm-hmm. So when I'm thinking about fintech or just world of, tech and folks color in tech, right? I try to be on top of those things. Because people can take a conversation further when they know that you appreciate them, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm certain you've had a conversation with somebody where they've just known deeply the work that you've done and what you're doing, and then you know, and then that person is of a certain magnitude themselves, and then you have this equal share, this knowledge share. So I think what I've been most excited to see is that on this journey, the more that I'm doing, the more I'm able to have these eye level conversations with people, because I know that I can bring value back as well.
Okay. And so you closed the seed round last year.
Pre-seed round last year.
And then just won $1 million, we did. Right? And so 2.5 million happens because of one, doing some phenomenal work, but then also two, a really rich network, yep. Right? How did you cultivate some of those funder relationships, investment relationships, leading up to that point?
Are you building a high growth business in tech, healthcare, AI, media entertainment, or consumer goods and services? If so, we'd like to help you scale. Apply for a chance to win capital, coaching, and access to an amazing community of diverse innovators. Applications for the 4th annual Black Ambition Prize competition are now open. Don't miss your chance to win $1 million. Apply today at blackambitionprize.com.
Yeah. So fundraising is truly a process, right? And you have to find the people that understand what you do deeply. I think there was a point where I hit this fundamental shift versus asking people for money versus just looking for mission alignment and then talking about my problems and then saying, hey, capital is a solution to this.
When did you have that mental shift?
When I lost, I lost the inferiority complex around the VC conversation, right? You kind of get behind the scenes, you in this space, some of your VCs become your friends and they have the same job I do. All I'm doing is raising money from people raising money.
Yeah.
And then I was able to play a little more offense and defense. So I would say that switch probably happened for me in sometime around 2021.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And when you say that switch, right, it was just okay, I'm raising money. They are also raising money. I'm removing myself from thinking there's a power dynamic that I have to play. Can you just break that down? I love getting really granular around this because it's really helpful to people. But just break that down as a founder, that thought process. Because I think it's once you get to that aha moment, this sounds awful and spicy tweets right, but they're not oftentimes that smarter than you, right? They may be better networked, sometimes access, but as far as from an intellectual standpoint, there's not a lot different, right? The rules are different,
right?
But I feel there's a moment when you people can say that to you, but there's a moment where it officially the light bulb goes off and you're a completely different founder and every meeting that you go in different as a result of that. Was there that moment or was there kind of smaller moments that led to I'm walking into every new room differently?
I think it was when I turned down. We were in kind of this mid diligence space with the VC and it was just prolonging itself. And I was why am I doing that? Why am I fighting for somebody to give me money that's probably going to give us money reluctantly and then compete against our entire mission and thesis, yeah. right? Like that's counterintuitive to your entire journey, right? Like at your early stage, you need to go fast. Like you shouldn't be battling with people that are supposed to be aligned with you. And that happened towards the end of 2021. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, it's to think about this, like a VC, their job, it's our job to pitch them and tell them exactly what we do and why we do it. You can take some of it and say, hey, what could I have done better? Right. But sometimes if they don't believe in just they've had one bad investment in your space or whatever it is, so they're kind of sour to it, then like sometimes that can be tough to turn around. But that doesn't matter. Right. If you're a domain expert, if you do what you do best, just lean in on that. Do things that continually showcase you as a domain expert, right? Like, you know, it can be podcasts, it can be articles, it can be white papers, right? Just whatever. So people, when they're doing their research on you, I always say people are looking at you when they're not looking at you. So like, just focus on the things that you do best, and then it starts to shine in the legwork that you've done behind the scenes. Mm.
I like that. People are looking at you when you don't think they're looking at you. Mm-hmm. I heard a Kevin Hart, who has like Hart Ventures now. I heard him on an interview maybe about 2 or 3 weeks ago, at the A16Z event. And he talked about when the baton is passed to you, it's passed to you silently. Mm-hmm. And I was like, dang, I never thought about that before.
That's fire.
And to what you said, right? He's just like, people are looking at you without you even knowing it. There's not like a formal process to it, right? Mm-hmm. They sometimes are evaluating you, de-risking their potential investment, and you don't even know it. Nothing mm-hmm. has been formalized. And so when you said people are looking at you without even looking at you, like one, that's really cool. But then two, that's also kind of, I think Sherelle said something about that earlier, of just like, there's a weight and responsibility that feels like you always got to be on. Mm-hmm. So as an entrepreneur and a founder, do you feel like you always have to be on? Do you feel like you have like a Sasha Fierce version of you, right? Where like, this is the Evan that is representing the company or raising money. And like, this is Evan, yeah. right? Like, talk to me a little bit about that.
No, that's like forever a challenge, right? It's this frenetic pace, right? So like, trying to make sure that you stay at that pace, but like stay yourself, right? Because if you don't want to be running in two different directions, like you're on in one direction. I always look at it like music artists, mm-hmm. right? It's like if a music artist like went out of character to make a hit and then they made a hit, it'd be very hard for them to like now come back and be like this type of artist, mm-hmm. right? Because that's what worked for them. So I think it's important when you start out on the journey, like you just kind of stay who you are. So there's definitely an elevated on version of me, but then the relaxed version of me is just kind of like a person who was speaking before me is, you know, curse words fly a little more, yeah. right? Like you have a little more fun, make a little more jokes. But yeah, no, it's a constant thing. And especially when you're early stage and you are kind of still being evaluated, right? It's like, you don't want to make this slip up, especially when you're trying to do things of greater magnitude. Like our yeah. mission is large, but also too, like we're Black founders, right? And we know that the things that we do will unfortunately kind of, or fortunately, like precede how people think of others that step into the same type of path. Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like we'll have, how do I say this? Right. And so Chris Rock has this saying of just like, true equality in like Hollywood is when like Black actors are allowed to suck, right? And mm-hmm. still make movies and still yeah. be funded. Do you feel like it's the same way in the venture space? Like we'll have some level of true equality when Black founders especially can raise capital, the company fails, and they can raise more capital. Like in the same vein of like the Chris Rock quote or no?
So as it stands today, I'll say no. Mm-hmm. But, and the only reason I say it is because if we're just talking about the founders, but if we start to see VCs, not just the VC, not the face of the VC, but like the LPs of the VCs start to look like us, right? To where they're not held to like, you know, certain other opinions. When the first hires start to look like us, right? To where we're not anomalies, you know, or the ones that have to always be like celebrated. It's just a normal thing. Then I think we could suck. Mm-hmm. But I think for right now, we do need to be exceptional. And I mean, that's a tough, like thing to wear because we we're not great all the time. Sometimes right. I look back at those decisions like, man, that sucked, mm-hmm. you know? So, yeah, but it you know, unfortunate reality, but I think we're definitely moving the needle, yeah. especially in these past couple years.
Yeah. Do you feel like you look back on like the early days of Kitty Credit and there's like a lot of moments like, what the hell were we thinking? Or like, no.
Yes.
Yeah.
A lot. I mean, I look back at some of our earliest pitch decks and I'm like, man, well, what was that about? Right. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and even to, like I said, with that conversation we had, but even to get to like these sketches, it was just so much trial and error, so many Fiverr designs, right? Like right. so many Upwork calls, right? Like just a lot of stuff to really find my way as we went. Yeah.
So you were like literally almost fresh off the plane to a certain extent from 43 North.
Yeah.
Where you took home like $1 million investment.
Yep.
Talk to us a little bit about like that process and that journey.
Man, that process.
Right.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's not lightweight.
No,
that's heavyweight.
No, no, yeah. It was needed. it was a whole thing. You know, I've been a part of some amazing events and everything, but the preparation that went into it, I appreciated it because I had on my founder hat the whole time. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you have on this tech conference, like, man, this is elite. So they held it at this theater in Buffalo, Shays Theater. It was like 3,000 to 4,000 people there. And, you know, it's like, don't get stage fright. Mm-hmm. You got one chance to say this and can't it, you know? So, as I say, but we just spent a lot of time practicing, right? Like it went into the day before when it was 15 of us. Mm-hmm. We had to pitch to a room about 200 to 250, and that was a 5-minute pitch followed by like 7 minutes of Q&A. So that was more knowing, like really having to go into the depths of what we do. Big challenge for me was always like, you know, everybody knows us for Kitty Credit, but not what we're really getting ready to launch, which is Credit Academy, yeah. right? So I was like, I have to tell this story super succinct. Otherwise, it's going to be like this founder doing two different things. Is it pivoting? What's he doing? So it has to come across like a journey. So I spent a lot of time around that. And I felt like we finally had it. So we did that pitch. We made it to the final eight. And from the eight, they selected 5 of us. And they also selected audience choice. So the pitch itself was 3 minutes, followed by like 4 minutes of Q&A. And I mean, we just brought it. I had this same t-shirt on, a little QR code on the back of Why Buffalo. We had executives from Discover, who's a partner of ours, come out. Executives from Equifax, who's a partner of ours, mm-hmm. come out. So like we really, really showed up. I was making a joke outside. Like that was our version of bringing Michael Jackson to Summer Jam when Jay-Z did okay. that years back. But no, it was just a surreal moment. You know, I had a bunch of family and friends there too. So
nice. What was the conversation in your head leading up to like moving forward in the different rounds?
If we do what we're supposed to do, we got this. So don't spend time thinking on like the celebrations and everything, like do everything that you can do. Because once the pitch was done, I was like, I feel good. You know, whatever happens here, you can let go and let God. But like, you know, 10 seconds you spend thinking on how great you are is like 10 seconds lost on like how much better you could be. So always like think like that. So kept hearing the validation, like you got it, right? Like there's a point where people are nitpicking at the pitch. It's like, all right, you know what to say now. Like, don't start changing stuff and overthinking it and get nervous. Just do what you got to do. Mm-hmm. And I felt good about what we did.
Yeah.
You know?
You dropped like 2 major corporations. So Discover and then Equifax. Mm-hmm. Like quickly, like any tidbits that you would want to share with someone getting ready to do it, you know, ambitious leap into working with big brands and corporations. Any advice that you would want to share just from what you've learned?
Yeah. Every corporation, no matter how large, is going to have their evangelist, right? Like it's going to be somebody within that corporation that just really believes in what you do. Lean into them, right? My Equifax partnership, that stemmed from like a cold email. I remember I woke up like 4 a.m. one day, you know, investors always ask you, what keeps you up at night? I'm like, nothing. I go to sleep early. But what wakes me up is, and then I'll say what? So I saw our early pitch deck. It had like an exit strategy with one of the credit bureaus. I was like, how does that even start? So I remember I went on Equifax.com. I copy and pasted my executive summary, which probably sucked. But I remember a day later, the president of Equifax Foundation was like, I've been here over 15 years. I've never seen a two-prong approach like this. We should talk. That was the inception of that relationship. He's now moved on to bigger and better things at a different corporation. but we just got entrenched in that ecosystem and they remained a partner. Mm-hmm. The Discover partnership, through a fintech accelerator we participated in, it was called False Fintech, we got a relationship with Visa, MasterCard, and Discover. But what I had really liked was just the human touch that they had, right? Like, they flew out to Buffalo. I've been at conferences and they're like, all right, we'll pay for the table for you and bring in some Garrett's popcorn, right? Mm-hmm. Like, being based in Illinois. Those things matter, right? So then when times get tough and you're like, man, we're low on money, or like, you know, we don't know where this is, like, hey, let's start digging around. And when you have large corporations trying to like dig around, they have big pockets, but they've got to believe in what you're doing. They've just been incredibly helpful. I mean, it was, I cried tears of joy seeing them there.
Nice, nice. Well, one, congratulations again.
Thank you.
And then two, tell us where people can find you online and follow your journey.
Yeah. So simple, first name, last name, Evan, EVAN, last name, Leapart, LEAPHART, LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter, and then our company's Kiddie Credit. So KIDDIE, credit with the K, KREDIT, same thing. And we'll have some stuff set up soon for Credit Academy.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Evan.
Thank you.
Heineken is proud to support Black Ambition in helping to unlock opportunities for its participating founders.